Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Expressing your love can look many different ways, and with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there and welcome to Databank Brawl, the podcast where we learn about Star Wars characters, discuss them, share our feelings about those characters, and then make those characters fight for our amusement and yours. I am your host. My name is Joseph Scrimshaw. With me, as always, is Ken Knapsack.
Happy to be here with you, sir, at the end of all things. I don't know what that means. happy to be here on Databank Brawl.
I'm glad it's not the end of all things.
Yeah, it seems like it's something you know, out there.
Yeah, it really does. If it was the end of all things, I'd be happy to be doing a Star Wars podcast with you.
Absolutely.
There are worse ways to go.
Lava flying around us, the eagles hopefully saving us. Be good way. Yeah.
That would be great to think that at the end of Lord of the Rings, there was a discussion about different stories in the world of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Which song do you like the best? Bilbo? Not Bilbo. Frodo. I know.
He's there.
Anyway. All right. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week, we are recommending Leia, Princess of Alderaan by Claudia Gray. It is a great insight into the heart, the mind, and soul of young Leia Organa. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/4center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4center for your free audiobook. All right. With that out of the way, we are ready to get into our battles. If you haven't listened before, here's what we do. I take some descriptions of characters from the actual StarWars.com databank. I pick a couple random characters. Ken does not know who I've picked. Mm-mm. We talk our feelings about these characters a little bit, and then we will improvise a battle. Are you ready for the first combatant?
I am, sir.
Okay. We still have a lot of new characters to get through with new movies, TV shows, cartoons, all that. So our first combatant is First Order Jet Trooper.
Ooh, they fly now, huh?
They fly now. And, you know, just to be clear, that's a Jet Trooper is a classification. That's not a name. Mm. Could be a name in Star Wars. That's true. I'm Jet Trooper.
Jet Trooper.
But no, this is First Order Jet Trooper. Here is what the databank has to say. Mm-hmm. Specialized stormtroopers of the First Order, Jet Troopers, soar into battle equipped with agile rocket packs. The end. They didn't type the end, but that's it.
This is all true.
That's it. That's the Jet Troopers have jets. That's what it's come to.
End of story.
When we started databank, one of the fun parts of this was going into the databank and seeing what interesting, strange little details are there. And in some of these more interesting or more recent ones, there's sometimes interesting little bits and pieces, but sometimes it's just a Jet Trooper has a jet. Got it? Okay, right. Good. So I am entertained by that.
Yeah.
You're going to look into the wilds of Wikipedia. What does Wikipedia have to say?
Well, not much more than that. There's a quote.
Oh, good.
None defies the First Order. First Order Jet Trooper said that.
Mm-hmm. First Order Jet Trooper said.
Stormtrooper variant and Stormtrooper Corps, unlike the Standard Trooper, was mostly trained in ground operations. These specialists were trained in aerial combat. Nothing too different for me here.
Well, that tracks.
Yeah, it does. We have some members, CR-1521, CS-9147, and FL-6198. They were appeared on Ovanis, Great Forvine Nebula, Kashyyyk, and of course Passana. The other quote we have is, they fly now. They fly now.
They fly now.
Poe Dameron, they fly now. and then there's some stuff where there's some variants and all those kind of things. And as far as the general, variant one, it was equipped with a standard stormtrooper helmet, a control box on their chest armor, the F-11D blaster rifles and jetpacks. This differed from Omicron's formations Jet Troopers Variant 2, supported inscription in Arabesh alongside red markings in their chest armor, no control box. Another variant, Variant 3, was equipped with a similar helmet and a dark-colored jetpack with straps that could operate in space environments. A fourth variant existed where the helmet was distinctly different and the troopers of the variant operated with the projectile launchers, the G-125s, and chest armor, likened to the second variant that was incorporated into the armor itself rather than an external addition. So then there was also the Sith Jet Troopers. Let's not forget that. So yes,
totally different thing.
Yeah. We are in the movie talking about the fourth variant, Variant 4.
Right.
That's what I'm going to guess there because that's what the picture is too.
Yes, so that's what I got from the databank. But they appeared in Poe Dameron, right?
Appeared in the Poe Dameron comic issue 1, actually in 2016, and identified as Rocket Troopers in the video game Star Wars Battlefront 2 before receiving the name First Order Jet Trooper in StarWars.com's databank in 2019. Hey! With the video game's The Rise of Skywalker update, the Rocket Troopers replaced to match his new name, and the Trooper's appearance as seen in the film was released on the same date. And then there's incorporate some of the original designs. This is in the Rise of Skywalker design. This is similar to the Ralph McQuarrie designs for the original Snow Troopers in Empire Strikes Back, and along with a little bit of the Death Troopers in Rogue One. So
okay.
That's that. The Ghost of the Kashyyyk was in a Star Wars Adventures comic.
Okay, and what are they? Kashyyyk. And they look pretty similar to to the ones that we saw in the movie.
Yes. So that's that. I guess we should just dive into the Jet Trooper controversy.
Let's go. Yeah. And it looks like in Battlefront, they had pauldrons And otherwise, they kind of look like stormtroopers.
Correct.
Normal stormtroopers.
Correct.
Okay, got it. The great jet trooper versi.
Yes.
Of the late 20-teens.
So people, when that clip was released, were very upset. Very yes. upset, I say.
Yes.
That Finn, who was in the First Order, would say they fly now. And that, no, well, Poe didn't question it, by
no,
the way.
No, Poe confirmed it.
He confirmed it. Yeah, they fly now.
Yeah.
And this created, and then a lot of people were very upset because apparently Finn and Poe and C-3PO didn't play Battlefront 2. So it got exhausting fast. Let's just be honest. It got exhausting fast.
Almost immediately. Mm-hmm. Exhausted more quickly than the actual packs do when playing them on Battlefront 2.
Yes. Yes. And I'm not great with them on Battlefront 2, I'll say. So. Yeah, I don't know where you want it. It's your show, sir. I don't want to hijack this.
I
like
know,
a jet trooper.
But you know, it's Brawl. It's got Brawl right in the title. And I sense some verbal pugilism coming from you, Ken Knapsack.
Yeah.
I think that I understand that every once in a while, the seams show when the movie directors want to have a little bit of elbow room.
Yeah.
And not everything aligns exactly perfectly with the canon of video games, comic books. For me, it's part of the fun of like, ooh, can you make up a headcanon way that this all makes sense?
Yep.
And hey, maybe they Finn never encountered these because the First Order is large.
Very.
So that they fly now makes sense from that. And Poe's is a confirmation. So he could be like, yeah, I'm confirming they fly now because obviously in front of me they do. Also, on Ovanis, when I was trying to get a big egg from Agent Terex, you know, he could have turned to the camera and said all that.
It's one of the things I know you've been really at odds with in pop culture fandoms. You did a great sketch that I haven't seen yet because I want it filmed and shared with the world. But yeah, Poe's not going to say that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. And it's just, it's the, you can make up the headcanon for it if you want. Yeah. And if not, it is. I do think the tweets that did bother me that day is when people were posting like the Battlefront 2 and is your joke illustrated. Yeah. We know more often than the characters do. Same thing with like the Anakin pregnancy thing.
Yeah.
Padme's not telling him. Anakin's looking at her front on. She's placing her hand on her belly to remind us, the audience, of what we know. Sometimes we know more. Finn has not played Battlefront 2. We have.
Yeah. And also, so what? So what? What are you going to do when they put in this funny line? Because it's not the mere presence of them. People were upset at the Finn's reaction to it. I can kind of get it, but man.
Yeah.
That's not a way to watch Star Wars. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I love diving deep. I really like it when all the canon connects and makes sense. I like make it. If something doesn't make sense, I enjoy making up headcanon, so it makes sense to me. But I do sometimes have to go back to George Lucas wanted to make a space movie, and he wanted to imagine what if his dog was his co-pilot driving his car in Modesto? And like, that is some of where all of this came from. And you do have to like take a step back and go, well, some of it's just in the spirit of fun, right? Yeah. And anytime you're dousing your own fun in flames of logic,
just check it at the door at times. Again, it can track. Again, if Poe had said, "Well, they fly now," I would have been like, "Oh, okay." I thought maybe he's in the spear. Maybe you're in variant 4.
Yeah,
he didn't. He's like, they fly now.
They've been flying for a while now. Yeah. Finn, pay attention. Yeah, so I get it, but let it go. How do you feel? You've played them not to your satisfaction in Battlefront 2.
Yeah,
you've read the Poe Dameron comics.
Yeah,
how do you feel about them?
I historically. And this, I'll tell you what, even goes to G.I. Joe. When they would strap on in the cartoons, rocket packs. I don't like them.
Why do you dislike rocket packs?
Look, in a movie and franchise of space wizards and sounds in space and space whales taking you to hyperdrive lanes, I don't care. I'm just like, the jetpacks, I'd get in a spaceship. Why are you flying around? But they look cool. They're fine. I actually really thought they were part of a great sequence in Rise of Skywalker. I like their presence in the final battle with the Sith troopers. I have no. It's not. Doesn't hold me up. It doesn't hold me up. And then I think, I'll tell you what, I'd like them better if I was better at them in Battlefront 2. That might be the big deciding factor. Let's be honest. I'm bad at them.
Okay. I understand. I'm not the best at the rocket trooper, now the jet trooper. Mm-hmm. I think I love their design in their final design. I actually like the Poe Dameron variant one.
Yeah.
The Battlefront one, it was just like, hey, it's cool to have a rocket class, so here's one in every era. Like, it wasn't super thought out, right? It's, throw a pauldron on them. They can fly, because that's because we actually need one if we're going to have one in the era. We need one in all the eras.
Yeah.
So there's that. I love their design in Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. I love them getting launched off the back of the tread speeders, right?
Yeah.
That, to me, is just Star Wars fun. That's just the what if.
Yeah.
What if you were riding the back of a bike and got launched up into the air and your rocket fired, and now you had...
Great fun.
Yeah, great fun. Flying around, shooting. Got big. They got the cool guns with the big rockets, too.
Yeah.
So they're not just troop jets. They got rockets.
They got rockets.
In their hands to fire people.
Rocket man.
Yeah, they're just absolutely of the weird mix of science fiction and fantasy that is Star Wars. It's more weird to me that it took until Rise of Skywalker to get really prominent flying troopers.
Yes. Agree with that.
Yeah.
Agree with that.
So I'm very excited for them. I wish there was a few more details other than...
Yeah.
They've been trained for this, and they got rocket packs.
And they do it.
Jets, and they, boy, did they do it. So we will have to pull from the wealth of canon in their appearances in Poe Dameron and in Rise of Skywalker to tell this story. So I asked myself, who could possibly face the flying terror that is the First Order jet trooper? And I came up with an answer, and it is this one. Our next combatant is someone I truly can't believe has not actually been a combatant yet, but it's true. It's Paploo.
Wow.
Here's what the databank has to say about Paploo. A skilled Ewok scout, Paploo joined his friends Wicket and Tebow to lead Han Solo's team of rebel commandos to the site of the shield generator protecting the Death Star in orbit. As a diversion, Paploo stole an Imperial speeder bike, racing off into the forest with most of the bunker's guards in frantic pursuit. That allowed Han's team to attack the facility.
All right. Gosh, this is great. Yeah. Oh, look what you've done. Created something fun here today. Let's get some stats here.
Yeah.
Going to the canon tab on Wikipedia. We do have a little bit of stats. So we know he's an Ewok male, brown hair, 0.96 meters tall.
Okay.
We know he's affiliated with Bright Tree Village and the Alliance to Restore the Republic there. he was friends with Tebow and Wicket W. Warwick. And we know his great accomplishment was stealing that speeder bike, to which 3PO says, "I'm afraid our furry companion is gone and done something rather rash." That is about it. The Legends tab is going to have oodles, but we don't really go to that. I'm not even a little behind-the-scenes history. Kenny Baker, though, did portray him.
Okay, really? Oh, yeah, there's a photo.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah, okay, yeah, he's got kind of a white head covering.
Yeah, a little white.
What's going on his head?
Got like a little feather, couple feathers, maybe a chicken foot. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like he's got one of those like little, like a pin cushion for knitting with a feather stuck in it. So maybe he... maybe he's a craftsperson.
Got some skills.
A crafts Ewok.
And maybe he had something to do with that dress.
Yeah, maybe he made the dress. Yeah. I'm sure in Legends there's the entire story of the making of the dress by the weaver known as Paploo. How do you feel about Paploo?
I love Paploo. Somewhere along the way, I started making the joke that Paploo owes me money and Paploo has a drinking problem, which is not to be taken lightly. But, you know, I just think based on his actions, it seems to me that Paploo would kind of be like, "This needs to be done. Give me a shot of Ewok whiskey, and I'll go get it done. And I'm going to go take a take that." He seems, again, rash, quick thinking, a friend, but you turn your back, he's going to do something crazy. So therefore, I just it's always just been a running joke with me in Star Wars shows.
Yeah.
In life, Paplu probably owes someone money and likes to hit the spirits.
Yeah.
So I just love Paplu.
Paplu has always been the Ewok that I could cling to in the dark times when I didn't initially take to the Ewoks because they were too cute.
Yep.
That's a long since counseled myself out of that and other people as well. But seeing Paplu be murder bear of action, going and getting that bike, and I loved the screaming. I loved the grabbing the swing, grabbing the vine and swinging. Like there was an Ewok who knew how to have fun, how to go crazy, man.
Absolutely, man. He's a Saturday night Ewok.
He's a Saturday night Ewok.
Yeah.
So I think that he has decent chance against the First Order Jet Trooper.
It's gonna be. You've set up a fight here.
And if you ever doubt that the moment we're living in is just the moment we're living in and things are going to change, we have a matchup where there is less anger in the fan community about an Ewok than there is about a cool-looking trooper.
That's right.
Times change.
Oh, boy.
Times change. Oh. And with that, we are going to fight. So we get to decide exactly where and when this is going to happen. Now, with the First Order Jet Trooper, we could go time travel. That would be weird for us. We haven't done that before. But what I'm thinking, and I admit, this is part of the reason this was attractive to me.
Yeah.
Old Man Paplu.
Oh, yeah.
Versus First Order Jet Trooper. Because something's going on the moon of Endor.
100%. This is in the final fight, man. We are on Endor. We got Wicket. What's his son's name?
Pommet. Who is not in the databank yet. Damn it.
Played by Harrison Davis, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, this is... Oh, we got that Holdo maneuver in the sky. We got a lot going on.
Got the Holdo maneuver in the sky. So just to set the stage, I think when the First Order is allocating its resources.
Right.
You go into the visual dictionary and the novelization. You get the more enhanced story that's really only implied in the movie that the First Order is big, but they're nowhere near as large of a fleet as the Empire.
Right.
So they're really having in order to stamp down any insurrection in the galaxy, any rebellion, resistance. They need to be strategic about which systems they're controlling.
Right.
Somehow within that strategy, they said to themselves, the bears are going to be a problem.
Look, man, if Palpatine comes back in any way, shape, or form, I don't care how he comes back, if he's a ninth generation clone of Michael Keaton from Multiplicity, it doesn't matter to me. If he comes back and he's like, look, last time, these bears took me out, all right? I was busy up above, down below. I mean, I sent Iden Versio down, and I don't know what happened down there, but the bears won. Guard the bears.
I love the thought of Palpatine hanging half-formed from his weird claw spine machine and saying, the Ewoks are relentless.
Do not underestimate the fur and the might of the Ewoks.
Show no mercy. So if it's Palpatine's command, if it's Allegiant General Pride's command, if it's Kylo's rage, it's time for all of it to die. The Jedi, the Sith, the Ewoks, kill the past, kill it all. Somebody sends a First Order Star Destroyer to the moon of Endor.
Yep.
And do you think that the First Order is just floating above, or do you think that they send like a big raiding party to just decimate, to just take over Brighttree Village?
100% big raiding party. There's bunch of people down there, and the Ewoks are like, not again. And Paplu and Tebow and all these people are like, look, we must pick up spears. It's time to eat.
It's time to eat. Yeah. I think the young ones have been listening to this story told around fires, right?
Absolutely.
Of the time that the Ewoks had to rise up against the mechanical menace and that added the new troops. And many Ewoks went out into the stars to do different things for
absolutely
therapy and to become slicers and all sorts of things.
Some have auto-aim on their bows.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, some have little cybernetic eyes that allow them to perfectly aim.
And sniff out opponents hiding around walls.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think Paplu, mm-hmm. being the Saturday Night Ewok, is the one who's always made this sound really, really dangerous mm-hmm. and really exciting. And oh, I think yeah. many young Ewoks have grown up going, wow, mm-hmm. If I could fight a war like old uncle, not even blood related, they all call him old uncle Paplu.
Old uncle Paplu.
If I could fight a war like him. So he's kind of rallied him up. Yeah. So.
Totally. Yeah. Because for years, like, you know, I'm translating from Ewokese there, but did you ever tell you the time? But yes. You told us the time. You took a speeder bike.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, and then I threw a rock at a thing. It turned at me. Looked. I saw it. Saw its evil eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Paplu's kind of ready for this, I like to think. Right. Yeah. I think he's been maybe a little paranoid. Maybe that's the way he's coped by putting a brave face on it.
Yeah.
But he's been a little paranoid. He's been mm-hmm. waiting all these years.
Yeah.
And I think the there's a landing.
Yes.
Is outside of the Bright Tree Village. And one First Order jet trooper is sent is simply as reconnaissance.
Oh, okay. So
check out
trees. You maybe yeah, okay.
yeah. Just fly up above the trees. If they spot you, just turn around. We just want you to check out. Basically, like last time, they had a bunch of traps,
right?
And we want to know. We're going to scout it out. We're going to know yep. where two logs are going to swing together.
Yes.
We want to know where there's a pile of logs that our walkers are going to trip over.
If you see a bunch of logs trimmed, no branches. Piled up above a walkway that will put a walker. Could you do me a favor and check on that?
Also, if there are any just ropes on the ground with a big circle in the middle where we might want to walk.
Yeah.
Could you be aware of that?
Let us know.
Yeah. Let us know. Yeah.
File a report.
Yeah. Yep. So I think that this First Order Jet Trooper is cocky.
Yeah.
What do you think the Jet Trooper's name is?
It is... it is JT
32 32 JT 32 32
they call
he
him,
feels so lucky.
Yeah, they call him threes and twos. They don't.
Yeah, they don't have that sense of familiarity that clones do.
Yeah.
He's just J2-32-32.
Yeah.
And he's been conditioned, right?
Yeah,
and
he's well
not,
trained.
He's not questioning it.
No.
I think when a First Order trooper is really conditioned well, mm-hmm. they believe in order, right?
Right.
But they also believe that the greatest thing they could do is rise in the ranks.
Oh, yeah. He wants to be a head jet trooper.
He wants to be a First Order head jet mm-hmm. trooper.
Yes. That's a rank.
It's a rank. Yeah. Head jet trooper. Right. Yeah. He gets to tell the other jet troopers when to go to sleep, when to do their homework, all the things.
When to jump.
When to jump.
High in the sky, yeah.
Yeah. When to fire their rockets, their jets. So he really wants to excel at this mission.
Yeah.
And he knows that there's this subtle divide in the First Order of sometimes... It's all about order.
Yeah.
But sometimes, if you do something really cool, they reward you. So what he's thinking is, my orders are just reconnaissance.
Yeah.
But if I could take out one or two of those bears, take out one of those traps. So he's got that in his mind as he rockets high above the trees.
Above the tree line, okay, yeah.
Above the tree line. Maybe he kind of dips as he gets closer and then weaves in and out, thinking he can hide himself.
It's a good sequence, yeah.
Maybe he lands on a tree and it mm-hmm. wobbles just a little bit. And he's got a good sight now over the main thoroughfare of Bright Tree Village.
Oh, yeah, the downtown city center.
Yeah, the downtown city center, mm-hmm. The place that they would absolutely have their Chipotle.
Oh, yeah. It's now with queso made from First Order officers.
Made from the blood
of
First Order officers. What does he see? How has Bright Tree Village changed since we, the Star Wars audience, last visited it?
There's been some expansion.
Okay.
Some lower levels because the Ewoks a little more confident. It's not ground level necessarily, but definitely some businesses opening up on the lower parts of the tree.
Okay.
There has been more of a... There's actually a hut that's a museum. It's the war that was before. It's a thatched roofed hut, but it's got Ewok art of the great fight for our freedom.
Yeah, I think that there is an animatronic C-3PO that will tell you the whole story.
Definitely some C-3PO in the merchandise center in the gift shop. Merchandise center. That's a weird. I'm thinking like a first order trooper. The merchandise center. You mean the gift shop? Okay.
I would like to walk into the buying room.
I'm going to Disneyland today. At the time of you're listening to this, I'm going to go to many merchandise centers today. So I think he sees it's both bigger. Some rundown parts, but it looks like a bigger city now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think he's like, oh, there's more a little thatched roofs. There's more places of community.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. I think he laughs to himself. This is going to be so easy. He gets a blaster out and he starts kind of. It's just toying with it. He's looking through the scope. He's looking at one of the little Ewoks hustling into the merchandise center
for their shift, selling merchandise at the merchandise center.
Yeah, they still have their traditional Ewok headwear, but this one has a picture of Han Solo on it.
Yeah, well, because I'll tell you what, after the galaxy, the fall of the Empire. A lot of tourists started to come and buy here.
Oh, yeah. Well,
let's see where the Empire kind of fell.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying there's a lot of humans or other alien species there now, but there could be.
There could be, yeah. And just as he's maybe teasing himself with the idea of how fun it would be to take a pot shot, a nice, gentle, organic breeze wafts through the village. And a couple of kind of big leafy areas blow back a little bit and reveal a shocking amount of infrastructure.
Yeah.
Now, the Ewoks have gone out into the galaxy.
Okay.
I think they have incorporated some of the lessons of war, that the best offense is a good defense. And he sees they actually do have, like, these weird, they look like turbo lasers.
Oh, okay.
But they have a bunch lined up of, like, acorns. So it looks like they have this half kind of
like
traditional
sized acorns, big acorns.
Okay. They look like they've kind of jury-rigged some old equipment to like fire acorns into the air. He starts to look more closely. He starts to see everywhere. There's lots of weird mixtures of technology and nature that have been combined to be weaponized in inventive ways.
It's like the cereal honey bunches of oats. You know what it is? It's the underbelly chin cannons of the AT-STs.
Oh, yeah.
Removed from the ones that survived or crashed as opposed to exploded and turned into these acorn launching weapons.
They have weaponized the remnants of the battle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I really want this weapon now in Star Wars.
And do you think JT-3232 gets cocky? Do you think he takes a pot shot at that, or do you think he flies back?
No, I tell you what, I think he's not flying back, but he's like a little like, whoa, that wasn't in our briefings.
Yeah.
I've talked to some of the old timers. They said, no, they had sticks and stones, man. They broke our bones, let me tell you. So he's a little taken aback. So he starts to log that a little bit. As he's logging it, he hears in the background, ooh, 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 ooh. Like, man, there's some really weird birds around these parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that. So you think he takes a pot shot or not?
I think he wants. So I think he documents it on his little keypad and his wrist or something. And then I think he goes back to the scope.
Yeah. Of his blaster.
Of his blaster to try to maybe shoot the turret. Like, I'm about to just take this out now.
Yeah. And I think as he looks back into his scope, all he sees is darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't understand what has happened. Mm-hmm. And so he actually pulls the blaster away and kind of shakes it and then turns slowly back to what the blaster had been looking at. And he sees clinging on to the branch, Old Man Paplu.
Yes. Just going, egg-a-dee, egg-a-dee-dee.
Now, Paplu has changed as well.
Yes.
Paplu was injured in the initial Battle of Endor.
Yep.
So he does have a big scar across his eye, very similar to Anakin's, ironically.
Right.
He has a totally green headwear.
Okay.
So he blends into the forest green and then he himself, of course, is brown.
Yeah.
And
a little gray,
a little brown, yeah. a little gray, mm-hmm. and all sorts of places in his fully visible naked Ewok body.
Yeah, just Ewok skin.
Yeah. And patchy. Then he has strapped across his body a bandolier that three different E-11 old school stormtrooper blasters hanging from it, multiple thermal detonators, and strapped to the back are three different spears of different sizes with different points. This is not just an Ewok. This is an Ewok of war.
Oh, yeah. Talk about your Saturday night Ewok. This is it in full. This is like almost like a Travolta dancing suit on Saturday Night Fever. He's ready to go. He's ready to party. he is waving back at JT-3232.
Yeah. Yeah. And as if to intimidate JT-32 before JT-3232 can even react, Paplu points at him and says, "Chihuahua," and then Paplu points at his own little nostrils and he goes, and he sniffs him.
Yes.
He sniffs him and then kind of makes this weird face of like, like, Gross.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, I think he even does it. This is all just bizarre to JT-3232.
Yeah.
And I think he actually says out loud, like, you're ridiculous. You brought down the Empire.
Yeah.
You will not bring down the First Order. Mm-hmm. And he takes action. What does he do? What does JT-3232 do?
He flies off his perch in the jet pack, hovers above Paplu, and takes aim and presses fire.
So he floats above him.
Yeah. Gets an angle high in the tree.
Yeah.
And like looking down on him and pew, pew, pew.
Now, is it pew, pew, pew or foom, foom, foom for the rockets? You think he goes blaster first?
I think he goes blaster first.
Blaster first.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I think in Paplu's mind.
Yeah.
He has been training for this moment for 30 years.
Oh, he's been dreaming about it.
Right. And from JT-3232's point of view, he sees sparks of flame. Yeah. He sees green and brown dancing, but he can't tell if that was just the tree rocking back and forth, if that was the Ewok burning and falling from the sky, or if the Ewok leapt somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that is when he hears the sound of something whistling through the air.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of these spears being aimed directly at his armpit.
Yeah. Spear goes flying up into the air, and I do think it makes contact right in the soft, meaty joint. There's not a lot of space. You know, the First Order tried to correct that a little bit, and they definitely learned some lessons on Endor, but come on. It's Paplu, man. And with a little Ewok whiskey-fueled aim, he thunks right into the stormtrooper's armpit.
Okay, and did that spear just bury itself in the pit of the trooper?
It's not pretty.
It's not
deep. It's not fatal. You know, Paplu, I don't know the last time Paplu sharpened his stones on the end of his spears.
Probably last night.
Yeah. So it's there. It's sticking out.
Yeah. And I think in Paplu's mind, as he threw it, he is thinking of the drawing that he has in his home of the original Imperial Stormtrooper armor. He's got all the X's marked of where the armor didn't meet.
Yeah.
He's got it memorized where it is vulnerable. And the First Order Jet Trooper is similar.
Yeah, they've heard there's a difference. Peak Buck came back and told them there's a difference to what's going on, but it's the same to them.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a chart in his hut where he took out like 7 stormtroopers during the Galactic Civil War. He wants to add to it.
All right. So does this phase, JT-3232, does he scream in pain and the like?
Oh, he screams in pain. This is definitely a phasing type of thing, but and he kind of like, The jet kind of like he loses control.
Oh, so he, yeah, it's because it's kind of intuitive, right?
Like,
yeah.
Like, And he's got to decide, do I pull this out? What do I do? Is it going to make it worse?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing about JT-3232. Mm-hmm. He has been sent to Endor.
Yeah.
He has been briefed on the failure of the Empire. The First Order is predicated on the failure of the Empire.
Right.
Just like the new Gorilla Walkers have those sharp joints, mm-hmm. so you can't wrap cables around them.
Right.
They studied the tactics of the Ewoks.
Right.
And he knows that the Ewoks use their environment for their advantage. And he has the epiphany, that's how to fight them.
Yes.
So what he does is he doesn't pull the spear out. He flies towards Paplu and suddenly basically lifts up his own arm, yeah. JT-3232, causing himself immense pain. Okay. Blood spurts out. Ugh. But suddenly that spear is flying right at Paplu's head, basically to clothesline him off the tree.
Oh, that's smart.
He's using his circumstances to his advantage, his painful, bloody circumstances. Yeah. Does he manage to clothesline old man Paplu?
He does. Paplu goes flying back off the branch, tumbling. He drops one of the blasters. One of the other spears falls off. He has one spear left now. And he goes tumbling, 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 tumbling right onto a rope. One of the ropes with rocks in it.
Oh, okay.
That they would drop.
Oh, you know, the dropping rocks.
The dropping rocks. And he lands on it with a thud. But then it creates, it's like a weighted situation. It's like a little dumbwaiter. Just yeah. So he starts going launching up to another level of Brighttree Village.
So he painfully hits the rocks, but the kind of elastic type bag they're contained in bounces him back up into the air.
Yeah. I don't know how he makes it go higher. I don't know the physics on that. It's just something. It does something with the other thing. But he's launching up in the air.
Yeah. And so I think he realizes that he has only moments to strike.
Yeah.
He has been training for this for so many years. He pulls one of the blasters off of the bandolier.
Yeah.
And as he's flying up, he aims. So we have this picture where the First Order jet trooper is hovering in the air. He thinks he took this guy out. He pulls the spear out. Blood spurts. Terrible pain. And then he looks back as he sees just flying up.
Yeah.
Paplu ends up there. Yeah. He hangs in the air for just a moment.
Yep.
Starts to fall back down and fires the blaster at JT-3232 as he falls back down.
Yeah.
Now, here is the big question of the night.
He's got chup chup chup.
He's got one injured eye. He's been training for basically his entire adult life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does he make the shot? Does he hit JT-3232?
He hits him in the left side of his torso.
Right in the left side of the torso.
Right in the left side of the torso. Which is also the same side I'm picturing the armpit wound. So it's not looking good.
So he's working that left side.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a direct hit. But it's enough to really send a message as Paplu falls back to the Endor surface.
Do you think he's going to hit those rocks again, or do you think he's going to...
As of right now, an unknown fate.
An unknown fate.
As JT-3232 looks at his now bleeding side.
Yeah, I think
all
he...
down that red, or the red down the white... armor.
Yeah, yeah. I think you know it cuts through it, and he spins and he's bleeding a little bit. And I think now he's just seeing fury. Now he's seeing what all First Order troops think, feel when they start to fail is can't go back and report this failure. Right,
got
to
finish it. Yeah.
So I think this imperative now is absolutely. This has to end.
Has to end.
He has to end this Ewok.
I
right.
Can't play nice now.
That's his new imperative. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think, raging in pain, blood filing, flowing behind him, he rockets downward to try to catch up with this falling Ewok and see where it lands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have an idea of where, what JT-3232 sees as he tries to catch up with falling Paplu?
He sees Paplu landing, ass over head in there. Does that, you know, boom, 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 just like spinning and just like a ball of fur flipping in the air.
Flying through the air,
flying through the air. Splats. Not bad, but hits a couple branches. Boom, boom, boom.
Hello.
Boom. And then boom, right on, like a what jet the JT trooper can't he can't JT 32 can't see, but it was like, is it, did he land like on a hatched like hangar? What is that?
Okay,
he like went through the roof of like a building, like a wide, hut, very okay. extra large hut.
Okay,
and he goes through the roof. Poof, poof. Yeah,
and I think JT 32 is thinks overwhelm him with force.
Yeah, I got the rocket.
If I keep having him come at me, that's no good. So I think he, first order jet trooper, cocky. He's been trained in aerial combat, yep. but also ground. I think he lands.
Yes.
I think he bursts through that hut, roof, and he lands.
Yeah.
What does he see?
Tell you what he sees. He sees the scrambling feet of Poplu running in an Ewok hang glider. He's landed in a hangar.
In a hang glider hangar.
And it's still high enough in Brightree Village. All he sees is this hang glider and the feet of, and the butt, quite frankly, of Poplu going, and flying out into the sky.
And so there Poplu goes, and JT-32-32, he laughs at this.
Yeah.
This foolish sight. These dumb Ewoks have had 30 years to prepare.
Yeah.
And instead of doing what we did,
yep.
learn from our mistakes, they're just trying the same old dumb tricks.
Yeah.
He blasts out of that place with his much superior jet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just about to catch up with this wafting glider, he suddenly sees the horrible truth. Poplu turns back, looks at him, and says, "Ichibohoda!" And the hang gliders have been retrofitted with some engine parts from the broken speeder bikes.
Oh, yeah.
So these are now basically rocket hang gliders. Really just totally taking the gliding part out of it.
Oh, you mean Ewok rocket gliders.
Ewok rocket gliders.
Oh, yeah.
Look and, for them. Yeah, and basically, Poplu hits the button. The energy explodes.
Yeah.
He goes zipping and zagging and flying in the air. The heat just almost blisters the First Order jet trooper's face. He gets blown backward, and the only thing the First Order jet trooper can think to do is say out loud to himself,
"They fly now with rockets."
What?
Yeah. Oh, but he's so pissed.
Yeah.
And I think there's basically this amazing aerial show of a battle where Poplu's flying through the air. He spins around. He's got one of those E-11 blasters, and he's firing away. Yeah. First Order jet trooper now is really in his element. This is what he's trained for.
So this is where I'm a Viking.
He's zigging and zagging. He's firing back. They're coming close. He gets this little singe on Poplu. He can smell a little bit of burning, blistering fur.
Yeah.
Right? And they're just zipping and zagging, flying around one another.
Yeah.
Perhaps well matched.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good place to pause in our combat, as we often do, take a little break, and really think responsibly about who can, who should, who will win this fight. We will be back in just a moment.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And we are back to finish our battle. We are in the middle of a great conflict between the First Order Jet Trooper J2-3232 and the old man, the Saturday Night Ewok, the one who has been itching for a righteous battle for decades, Paplu.
Paplu.
So, Paplu, he's got a rocket powered hang glider. Mm-hmm. He is zipping through the air, trading shots with his blaster. First Order Jet Trooper's been trained for this. Maybe not looking good for Paplu because he is, you know, out-trained.
Right.
First Order Jet Trooper has more training. Who do you think would win? Who do you want to win?
If this were 30 plus years ago in the Star Wars story, I'd say the Jet Trooper, with all his updated training, updated tactics, would win. But the Ewoks aren't those Ewoks anymore. Paplu might be a name long remembered, but it's a new era in Brightree Village. I think Paplu's got the home court advantage.
Yeah.
And he's going to take home the victory.
So that's definitely a want, but you also think it's a truth.
I think it's a truth. And as Captain Moden Kennedy would tell you, these young First Order folks ain't what they're cracked up to be in their own minds.
Yeah, they have mostly had experience just harassing and terrorizing people who can't fight back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Paplu is all about fighting back.
Yeah. Moden Kennedy used to say in some meetings, when you face some real resistance, you're going to find out how tough it is to rule the galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I think Paplu has been training for this.
Right.
I think he is ready for this. I think this isn't a battle of physical acumen so much of it is a battle of combat philosophy.
Exactly.
And I think that's where Paplu is going to take it home. But I think not before the First Order Jet Trooper does put him through his paces.
Absolutely.
And gives him a hell of a Saturday night to remember. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think the First Order Jet Trooper is realizing it's a bit of a standoff. He's he's singed Paplu, but that's about all. He hasn't been able to take the glider out yet.
Right.
Paplu's been able to evade him. He's clearly spent a lot of time flying around on this.
Yeah.
So I think he realizes I need to take it up a notch, and I think he loads the rockets.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Loads the rockets, indeed.
And do you have a thought about what happens next?
No. Continue.
Yeah. So I think he sets up a pattern. I think he uses his training.
Okay.
He realizes if I fire a rocket here and then another one here, then the Ewok will zig and zag this way. So by the time I fire the third rocket,
boom,
he'll have no choice but to fly right into it.
Good plan.
And I think, poof, the first rocket goes and Paplu, laughing, zags out of the way. The next one fires. He zigs out of the way. But now he's in that exact space and poof, that third rocket goes.
Yeah.
And I think Paplu does feel that old beast in the Ewok language known as Huta, which is fear.
Fear.
But he's prepared for this moment.
Yeah.
And I think he furiously wrestles with something.
Uh-huh.
But JT-3232 can't see what happens because a ball of fire and flame.
Oh, wow.
And he thinks, I got it.
Got it.
And in fact, he says it out loud because why just think it when you can say it? Yeah. I got him.
Got him.
That's when he sees flying through the air, Paplu, naked but alive. Paplu has let go of everything.
Everything.
He's let go. He let go of
it, like the force teaches you.
Yep. Yeah. All of the equipment.
Yep.
He undid his bandolier that the hang glider was attached to. Yep. He gently sent the hang glider forward so it would meet with the rocket. That whole contraption, all of his weaponry, even his headwear.
Oh, yeah.
It's all gone. This is a totally naked murder bear.
Yeah.
Stripped of everything.
Yeah.
Falling through the air, living to fight just even another moment.
Flapping in the wind, he is. And he's fallen.
He's fallen.
He's fallen.
What does Paplu do next?
Paplu is falling towards the Endor floor, which this section is now being used as a speeder bike simulator ride for tourists. But speeder bikes aren't around. But what is around are the vines.
Yeah.
That Paplu himself once used to escape to safety. Says he's falling. The jet trooper is racing after him now because he sees it, right?
Yeah, he's just rocketing down there.
Oh, I thought I got him. Paplu grabs onto one of the vines. The momentum takes him, and now he's swinging back high into the sky.
Yeah.
And the jet trooper overshoots, stops, almost hits the ground.
Yeah.
Dirt everywhere. A couple of tourists are nearby. There's some Abednettos who are just like, whoa, more than we paid for.
Yeah, so people are starting to see that this is happening. Yeah. You can hear horns going up all across the village, right, announcing that there's a problem.
Yeah.
First order jet trooper has now failed on his basic message of just mission of just having reconnaissance, right?
Yeah, now it's trouble.
Paplu's swinging on the vine, spies out of the corner of his eye a bunch of those young Ewoks that he's been telling these stories, these tall tales to, partially as they've exaggerated over the years. And now he realizes it's becoming real for them.
Yeah.
And they're staring up at him.
Yeah.
And getting to see for the first time, old man Paplu, will he live up to the legend?
Yeah.
And that's when Paplu realizes, okay, I've made war into a story in my mind.
Right.
And it's not a story. It's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we won before was being clever.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, his name, Paplu, has become a part of Ewok language.
Oh, yeah.
When you do something rash and surprising that ultimately works out well for everyone, you did a Paplu.
You pulled a Paplu.
You made a Paplu.
Yep.
And he realizes as he's swinging on that vine, I need to make a Paplu.
Yeah.
I need to go back to what I do best, and that is suddenly riding something I shouldn't. He throws himself off the vine.
Yeah.
He somersaults through the air, Wham! He lands on the back of JT-3232.
Yep.
He's there ride or die now. Yep. In a certain kind of way, from a certain point of view.
Mm-hmm.
What happens next?
Well, the jet trooper JT-3232, out of shock, out of just the fear, sheer force of Paplu hitting the jetpack explodes off, like takes off, and now they're both flying.
Oh, they're
along the floor of.
Wow.
Yeah. And J-3232 is like just these tree stumps, you know.
Yeah.
Seen a lot of destroyed speeder bikes. What's going on, you know?
Yeah. And I think JT-3232 gets just enough control to.
Yep.
He flips himself over. So now Paplu's poor little Ewok butt. It's hitting across the ground. It's very painful. The fur is,
he's going to have some patches.
He's going to have some patches.
New patches.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as this is happening, Paplu realizes he has to strike.
Yeah.
But he knows where to strike.
Mm-hmm.
That big wound in the armpit.
Yep.
So Paplu, clinging with one little Ewok paw to the jetpack, just reaches up and punches the armpit,
mm-hmm.
Which sends JT-3232 just
a lot of pain,
whistling into the air.
Yeah.
And JT-3232, at this point, do you think he still has his blaster, or has he lost it in this fall?
I think he has it. Yeah, I think he would have it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it has.
So he's firing. Yep. Kind of over his own shoulder, right?
Yeah, trying.
And I think they're, after that punch, they...
Yeah.
Now they're spiraling up, like, way too high in the sky, like, dangerously...
Paplu's still on him, okay.
Yeah, and they're locked in this combat where Paplu's trying to hit him in his wounded armpit and avoid these blaster fires that are just echoing in his beautiful barriers.
Mm-hmm.
Fur getting singed. And that's when I think Paplu does another really crazy thing.
Yeah.
I think he whips himself around so he's in front.
Yeah.
He's clinging out to the front of JT-3232.
Okay.
And there's blood on his paw from punching the armpit, right?
Yeah.
And Paplu, in his wisdom, realizes that a part of the art of war is just the psychology of it.
Oh, yeah.
So he looks straight into JT-3232's helmet. He brings his bloody Ewok paw to his mouth, and he licks the blood.
Oh, that Paplu
stares in his eye.
Yep.
As if to say, you're nothing but a meal to me.
Yeah. You're tasty.
I think this breaks JT-3232.
I think he does.
What happens next?
I think he drops the blaster. They're still flying up in the air, right?
Yeah. They can go wherever you want.
They're flying up in the air. They break through the tree line. Paplu is still on him, holding on. And I think JT-3232 cuts off the jetpack.
Wow.
It sputters off. He's so shocked. And they start this long, slow fall back down to the forest floor.
Falling. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, and Paplu starts to gain control. And it's almost as if Paplu is surfing him down.
Surfing.
And in Bright Tree Village, many people now are out and about, and they're watching this. Wicket comes out, just kind of shakes his head. Oh, Paplu, it's a Saturday night.
Yeah, he never met an Imperial device he didn't want to ride.
Yep, but everyone else is cheering now.
Everybody else is cheering. Yeah, and Paplu is kind of hamming it up maybe a little bit. He is, at this point, I think JT-3232 is maybe even losing consciousness. He's not used to this fast of a draft.
Drop.
And that's when Paplu's thinking about, okay, this is cool. I'm making a name for myself for the second time. He's looking for the vine. He's looking for another sort of bouncy collection of rocks that he can maybe safely jump into to stop his fall. And that's when he sees one of the young Ewoks that he's been telling stories to.
Yeah.
Maybe even Pommet.
Uh-huh.
Pommet Oryk. Run to that acorn cannon.
Mm-hmm.
Take aim. And Fire the acorns.
Fire the acorns.
And the acorns rush towards both Paplu and JT-32 and Paplu simply has to trust in the skill of the young Ewok, of young Pommet. Mm-hmm. And what do you know? Those acorns traveling at just unbelievable speeds.
Yeah.
Crash through the helmet of the First Order jet trooper. And the last thought that goes through JT-32-32's mind is, are those acorns? As they crack through the helmet and pierce his skull.
He's dead.
He has acorns in the brain, and he is dead.
And Peps crashes down to the fourth floor.
Yeah. And what is, how does Paplu land? How does he navigate this?
He lands. It's a mighty thunk with a jet trooper. There's some probably maybe a little light explosion, I would think. But he rolls off, springboards off, rolls, hits the ground, somersaults, gets up, and just kind of goes, ta-da. And way up above in Bright Tree Village, you just hear like, yep, nope, yep, 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 nope.
Yeah.
He takes a bow.
That is beautiful. And that broken, bloody, on fire, First Order jet trooper becomes a new symbol for their murder bears to rally around. And that is the end of our main conflict. But Ken, are there any post-credit scenes?
Yeah, we fade out and then we fade back into everyone gathered around in the center of Bright Tree Village. And Princess, now Chief Nisa, is there. Wicket's there. Pommet's there. Everyone's there. A picture of Lo Grey hangs in the back of the meeting hall. He's passed on. And Paplu's just there telling the story. Just telling the story as if it was 3PO in the days of old. And it's a sentimental ending. Wicket just kind of looks at Paplu and thinks to himself, we took down the Akiakta. Like, we took him down. And all the walklings are looking up at Paplu. It's such a great moment.
Yeah.
But Wicket does think, I'll forgive him for the money he owes me.
It is beautiful. And Paplu, realizing that he needs to share this victory with young Pommet, he needs to pass it on to the future generation. It is Saturday night.
Yep.
He is drinking. Mm. The cup he has is the entire helmet of the First Order jet trooper, filled to the brim with some home-brewed Ewok beer.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks to Wicket for permission. And Wicket's like, and he passes it.
Yeah.
Paplu passes it to young Pommet, who takes just a little sip.
Big sip.
A little sip into a large world.
Yes. He's a adult Ewok now.
Yes. He has finished his passage into the adult phase of Ewok life with a murder of a Imperial First Order trooper and a little sip of Ewok brew. And really, it's a beautiful thing. And somewhere in the forest, the Wisties dance.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful, horrible story. Those are the kind of stories we tell on Databank Brawl. If there are characters that you want to see fight, let us know. Use the hashtag Databank Brawl. We are trying to get to some of the good suggestions that people have made. Ken, where can people find you?
You can find me at Ken Napsok on the internet, on social media everywhere, and on my website, kennapsok.com.
Excellent. We always like to thank Tony Thaxton for his theme music. You can check out his Patreon. Just go ahead into Patreon and search for Tony Thaxton. You can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/forcecenter. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as at Joseph Scrimshaw, and check out my albums, podcasts, and shows on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. You can like Force Center on Facebook and follow us on Twitter as at Force Center Pod. And until next time, as Luke Skywalker once said, well, no one was really listening to him. I care. That's it for Databank Brawl.
We laughed, we cried, some aliens. Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.